Hey, Hebrews is a great book, isn't it?
Amen.
We've been in Hebrews and we've seen how Christ is greater than the angels in Hebrews chapter 1. And yet, then in chapter 2, how he became lower than the angels once he became a human being, so that through death he might deliver us who had the fear of death, and all of our lifetime were subject to the bondage of death. He freed us. He became a man, lower than the angels, but now he's above the angels as the God-man. In chapter 3, Derek spoke to us last week on how God's greater than Moses. Moses, God raised up Moses to bring Israel out of Egypt. And the book of Numbers is all about how they wandered around in the desert for 40 years. In fact, Numbers got its name because the men were numbered. All the men 20 and above were numbered. And the reason they were numbered is God said there were 603,550 men when the wilderness wanderings began. 603,528 men did not believe God. Out of that group of over 500,000 men, only two of them existed those 40 years and went into the land. What's their names? Joshua and Caleb. I bet you there's no one here who knows the other 10 names without looking it up. You want to know why you don't remember unbelief? Joshua and Caleb believed God. In that context, God had just destroyed the greatest world empire of their day, their army, Egypt and Pharaoh. And now the Israelites, although they were in the wilderness wandering around, they didn't believe God could defeat the giants that were in the land. Faith. Faith. Today, as we look at how Christ is greater, we're going to see that he's greater because of the rest that he gives us. We desperately need rest. Hey, have you found rest? In the first service, there were a few people who turned, when I got up, they turned off their hearing aids and they went to sleep. They found rest. I had another guy that told me the way he gets rest, he took a pill last night. I'm not talking about the rest where you can take a pill and go to sleep. That's not the kind of rest we're talking about. Have you found rest? You see, in Hebrews 4, as it concludes or follows through with Hebrews chapter 3, it says, therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. Five times he talks about rest in the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews 4. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. Fallen short of it like those 603,548 men. They fell short. They did not believe God. They did not believe God. Bud Wilkinson was in the 1940s and 50s. He was an Olympic decathlete. He won a gold medal. Ultimately, he became the coach of Oklahoma, the Oklahoma Sooners, and they won a couple national championships underneath him. And somebody asked him one day, what has football done to the American public? And you know what he said? Here's a college football coach, one of the national powers of their day. He said, absolutely nothing. He said, the problem with football is there's 22 men on the field who desperately need rest, and there's 50,000 people in the stands who desperately need exercise. You know what? We desperately need rest. But it's not physical rest. It's not physical rest that he's talking about. We desperately need rest. There's this promise of entering his rest. The promise is still there today. We can enter his rest. But we must be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it. You see, sin by its very nature does not rest. It does not stand still. Sin always wants more. It's never enough. It's never pleased. It's never satisfied. And no matter how much you get, you still want more. Satan's never satisfied. Did you realize that once Lucifer became Satan, since then he's never had rest? He will never rest. He does everything he can do to bring rest to people, to bring unrest to people. He's restless. In Luke chapter 11, around verse 24, it says, when a demon comes out of a man, an unclean spirit, it says it goes through arid places trying to find rest. Demons don't find rest. Ultimately, Satan and the Antichrist will be cast in a lake of fire where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and wailing. And this says they'll be in torment day and night forever and ever. Never at rest. Hey, have you found rest? Do you know what it means to rest in Christ? What's it mean to rest? The word of God says in Isaiah 57:21, it says, there is no rest, and some versions say, there is no peace to the wicked. Wickedness does not bring rest or peace. And what we begin to see is that as we trust Christ, we get peace, and as we have peace, we begin to find rest. We begin to find rest. The world's in an uproar. The psalmist saw that in Psalm 2 and verse 1 when he says, "Why do the nations rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" Did you realize the world's at unrest? We're at unrest. Why do the nations rage? Why do they plot these vain plans? And why are they saying to God with their fists in the heavens, "We don't want your chains on us. We want to be free from you"? Naturally, the world's at unrest because they're against the one who gives them rest, the Prince of Peace. Rest, rest. From where come wars and battles and striving? He says, where do they come from? Don't they come from within? He says, you have these desires that are battling with each other inside of you. The biggest battles in everybody's heart is within our hearts. There's this striving, there's this restlessness within us. We know something's deeply wrong. And then it goes on to say in James chapter 4, it says, you lust and desire, yet you have not, because you ask not. He says, you covet and kill. And he says, when you ask, you don't receive it because you ask amiss to heap it upon your own desires and upon your own lust. Rest. Are you at rest? Do you have peace this morning, my friend? Man's currency is in information. To some people, information is power. And so we live in a world because of technology where you can, with Siri, whatever, you can bring up anything you want to ask, and they can usually give you an answer. In fact, you might want to ask, not now, but after this, hey, where do you find rest? Where do you find spiritual rest? Technology is great if it's used well. Because of technology, people, there's all kinds of apps. People can get their Bible in their languages. In fact, right now, a lot of you have opened up Hebrews chapter 4 in your Bible, on your phone. Isn't that great? Tremendous uses for technology. But it can be used in a terrible way. And they can so control us with what's going on with social media. It can so control what we're doing. In fact, we're not controlling it. It's controlling us. And so something that can be used in a good way for God is often used in an evil way to control us. To keep us at unrest. How many likes have you had today? If you put your picture up there and put like, what do you think? You think people would like you? Do you know that God loves you? Why was it quiet in here this morning? Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands. My friend, you can enter his rest. And we're going to talk about how to get there this morning. How to enter his rest, not your rest, his rest. Let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it, like those in Hebrews chapter 3, when it talks about those in the book of Numbers. They fell short of it because they did not believe God. Hey, what does Jesus say about this? The verse that Steve quoted a little bit ago in Matthew chapter 11. Let's read it together. "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What a great verse. In this context, there's a lot of unrest going on. John the Baptizer's in prison, and the first few verses, he's telling his disciples, go ask Jesus, are you the one to come, or should we be looking for another? He says, I don't quite understand. I'm in prison, maybe at unrest in prison. Christ sends him back, says, you just tell John, the blind are seeing, the deaf are hearing, the lame are walking, and our dead are being raised. I'm the one. So though you're in prison, John, you can find rest. And then in the midst of all that, Jesus says, to what will I liken this generation? He says, I played the flute and you didn't dance. I sang a funeral dirge and you didn't mourn. In other words, they were totally out of sync with Christ. They didn't have rest. They didn't know Christ. They were laughing when they should have been crying. They were crying when they should have been laughing. You see, when you know what it means to have rest and enter into Christ's rest, you'll know how to feast and you'll know how to fast. Rest takes all those in. John the Baptizer, he said, came fasting, and you said he has a demon. He said, I've come eating and drinking. You say I'm a glutton, I'm a drunkard. Your wisdom's justified of her children. So he pronounces the woes on these different cities. Their judgments because they had no rest. They did not know God. They were rejecting God. And then he says, come to me, all you are weary and burdened. You want to know what? The religion of Christ's day, the Jewish religion, Judaism in Christ's day, was trivial. It was tedious. It was burdensome. That doesn't mean there weren't a few believers. There were some. But it was a heavy weight that was put upon people's shoulders. And so in the midst of all these people who were rejecting Christ, Jesus said, come to me. Come to me. Hey, when's the last time you've come to Christ? Come to me, all you are weary and burdened. Are you weary? Are you burdened? Are you struggling? Are you filled with unrest? And I will give you rest. And what's weird about this verse is you think rest, we often think of rest as being the absence of work. Rest is sitting on a beach somewhere or just being totally free from doing anything. Sometimes rest means that. But more often than not in the Bible, that's not what it means. In the midst of this verse on rest, he says, yoke up with me. Well, that's work. He says, take my yoke upon you. In other words, you're going to be yoked up with somebody. You're going to be yoked up with something. It might be your popularity, it might be power, it might be money, it might be fame, it might be a house, it might be a car, it might be a job, it might be a degree, it might be studies. You're going to be yoked up with something. You're pursuing something, you're seeking something. Jesus said, yoke up with me, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. You know the reason we don't have rest? We don't learn from Christ. We learn our way. For I'm gentle and humble in heart. You know what? Christ is a God of rest. God's at rest. He's at ease with himself. He's at peace with himself. Did you know God likes himself? And yet he's not just self-centered? For I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Hey, how's your yoke? How's your burden? Is it weighing you down? Is it you caught up with life? Are you caught up with the burdens of religion instead of the freedom of Christ? There's a hole in my heart that's bigger than the Grand Canyon. Unless Christ fills it, I will remain empty and be unrestful. I will not have peace. Because I'm not enough. I'm never going to be enough. And neither are you. And all the trappings of this world and everything everybody can promise you, it will never be enough to fill the hole in your heart. But when Christ fills it, when you come to him, you have rest. When you yoke up with him, you'll find rest for your souls, for his yoke is easy and his burden is light. What's Christ telling us from this verse? There's at least four things I want you to see. First of all, God wants me to rest in him. He knows that without him, I'm not going to be at rest. He knows without him, life is going to be tedious and it's going to be burdensome. And it's going to be heavy and weighty and it's going to be hard. He knows that. So he says, he wants me to rest in him. Come to me. And if you're qualified, if you're burdened, and if you've got these heavy weights upon you, he says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Rest is a gift from Christ. You don't earn it. You don't work for it. You don't get it by, if you do enough, long enough, hard enough, you'll get it. That's not it. Rest is a gift from Christ. Learn from me. He says, I learned to rest. When I was in kindergarten, that was about 60 years ago, you know, after lunch, sometime in the early afternoon, we used to pull out our rugs. Yeah, anybody used to have rugs when you were in kindergarten? Do they still do that or not? What do they do now? The mats. Okay, mats or rugs. Okay. We used to pull out a mat, and then we'd take a couple buckets or pails, and we'd go down there and get these cartons of milk. We go down in the kitchen, you know, and come up with these cartons of milk and dish them out to people. We'd sit on our carpet, and the teacher read a story, and I think she thought we were going to sleep. I don't know what we were doing, but all I remember is it was quiet and it was restful. Don't you wish you were back in kindergarten every once in a while? Hey, sometimes we need that physical rest. And that's just an illustration of the spiritual rest that Christ wants us to have. Rest is a gift. We have to learn. As I look back now, I think I understand why Mrs. Burns, my kindergarten teacher, had us do that. I don't think she could handle us any longer. How many of you think I had ADD when I was growing up? No, you're actually totally wrong. I wasn't. I got it as an adult. No, I'm just teasing. We learn to rest. Christ rests, and notice this. He talks about this yoke and this burden. Yoke up with me, for my yoke is easy, my burden. There is a yoke, there is a burden as a Christian, but it's light. Christ's rest is not rest from work, but it's rest in work. Now, sometimes in the Bible, the word rest has the idea of not doing work. For example, the phrase of a Sabbath or Sabbath rest, it's used once in Hebrews 4 here. It's used in the Old Testament. God created the Sabbath for Israel. God worked 6 days and rested the seventh. We'll see that a little bit later. And sometimes it meant it was ceasing work, but often the concept of a Sabbath is not just ceasing from working, but it's the idea of just being free, being able to rest on the inside, not because it's a seventh day, but just because of who God is in your life. Christ's rest is not rest from work, but it's rest in work. In other words, there's a way that you can have a grace rest and a grace work, or you can have your rest and your work and do it your way. He wants us to learn how to do what we do out of a framework of rest. How to live out of a framework of rest. How to make decisions out of a framework of rest as we walk with Christ. Christ's rest is not rest from work, but rest in work. God wants me to rest in Him. And you know what? When I'm at rest in Him, I'm at rest with myself. You see, the biggest struggles that most people have is they're not at rest with themselves. They're not at peace with themselves. And I think if this just happened, or if my husband or wife just did this, or my kids quit doing that, or my parents started doing this, or the boss, that's not where rest comes from. It comes from Christ. If you keep looking for it for someone else, you're going to miss it. You've already missed it. He gives us rest. And when you're at rest with Christ, then you're at rest with yourself. You're not trying to prove something. You're not trying to be something. You're not trying to do something. You're at rest with Christ. A number of years ago, in fact, about 25 years ago, I ran into a guy that had a number of problems in ministry. And one of the things that came out is that he was literally preaching Chuck Swindoll's sermons. Now, I'm not saying he was taking the content and kind of playing off of it. He had almost memorized the sermons. His inflections were the same. In fact, I listened to one of his messages one day on tape, back then CD. And I met him a couple days later. I said, "Hey, that's like Chuck Swindoll. You're preaching Chuck Swindoll's sermon." He says, "Yeah, he's really good. I really like him. God's blessed him. And I think God's going to bless him if I preach like him." I said, "You're not just preaching like him. You're using his words. You're using his inflections. When he ended a sentence, you ended a sentence." And I said, "Why can't you be yourself?" You see, he wasn't at peace with who he was. If you're not at peace with Christ, you're not going to be at peace with who you are. And you're going to keep trying to become something you aren't, or copy someone who you think is, only to find that you're still not at rest with your heart, with yourself. Christ's rest is not rest from work, but it's rest in work. How do we enter this rest? He tells us in Hebrews 4:3, we enter by faith. Now we who have believed enter that rest. You see, at the end of chapter 3, they did not believe God. They did not trust God. They did not walk with God. Their hope was not in God. They were trusting themselves. When it came down to it, if it came down to God or me, I'm trusting me. I can't trust God. I don't have enough confidence in Him. Now we who have believed enter that rest. You enter rest by faith, by just trusting Christ, by putting all your weight upon Him. Just as God has said, "So I declared on oath in my anger, they will never enter my rest." They didn't believe me. And when you don't trust God, there's no way in the world you're going to have rest. Now, you might give yourself a little rest for the day, but you're not going to find it. Because rest is something that's internal. Rest is something that's about faith. It's about trusting God. It says it this way in Romans 5:1. Being justified by faith, being declared righteous by faith in Christ, we have what? Peace with God. Faith brings peace. And you know what peace brings? Rest. When you're at peace with yourself, you're at rest. When you're at peace with God, you have rest. I've known people going through some of the most traumatic circumstances of life, and yet in their hearts there was rest. They didn't know what was happening. They didn't know why it was happening. In fact, even Christ is facing the cross. He's saying, "God, Father, take it away from me." But was there some turmoil going on? The answer is yes. But did he ultimately trust God? Yes. Not my will, but what? Yours be done. So in the concept of rest, it doesn't mean there will never be turmoil or struggles or misunderstandings. But it means this: you trust God and watch what He does. Watch Him work it out. Now we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said. You receive rest by faith. Faith brings peace and peace brings rest. And when you're at rest with Christ, you're at rest with yourself. And when you're at rest with yourself, you're not trying to become anybody. You're just becoming what God's called you to become. You're just doing what God's called you to do. You're just being what God's called you to be. Hey, God rested from his works. I must rest from mine. I love that verse in Hebrews 4:4. For somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, on the seventh day God rested from all his works. It says that in Genesis 2:1 through 3. And then about 1,500 years later, God used this to give the Sabbath to Israel. In Exodus chapter 20, in verse 11, and then also Deuteronomy chapter 5, the fourth commandment is God gave the Sabbath and made it holy. So for 1,500 years of human history, they didn't have a Sabbath as we know of it. And after God was finishing working with Israel, when Christ came in the New Testament, they rejected him. He began his work with the church. You know, 9 of the 10 commandments are given again in the New Testament, but the one that's not given to the believer is the Sabbath. Now, it doesn't mean you don't rest. The Sabbath was a sign between God and Israel. In fact, in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 12, it says, I gave the Sabbath as a sign so that you would know that I was the one who made you holy. You want to know where rest comes from? When you know that God makes you holy, you get rest. If you keep trying to make yourself holy, have you ever tried to be holy? Okay, I'd like everyone right now just to give me a holy smile. Come on, give me a nice holy look. What's a holy look like? A lot of Christians are trying to make themselves holy. They know something's wrong. They're trying to make themselves right. You cannot make yourself holy. They will know that I'm the one. I gave them the Sabbath so that they will know that I am the one that made them holy. That phrase is used a few times in the Old Testament like it is in Ezekiel 20 and verse 12. I make you holy. I don't have to strive to be holy. I don't have to strive to do this for God or that for God or this for you or someone else. God makes me holy. Then God does it, I can rest in him. I can relax in him. You see, the whole legal system, when he said he's greater than Moses, the whole legal system was work 6 days and rest the what? Seventh. The whole Israelite calendar was based on heptads. 6 days, rest the seventh. 6 years, rest the seventh year. Seven sevens of years, 49th year, the 50th year is a year of Jubilee. Everything was based on heptads. Sevens. What you find in the New Testament is that Christ rose again on what day of the week? The first day of the week. So Christ is saying, under grace, you rest first and then you work. Are you with me? The law says work and then rest. Christ says rest and then work. In fact, Christ says rest in your work. No matter what you're doing, whether your job is more mental or more strenuous or more physical, it doesn't matter. You can learn to rest in your work. God's given you this ability. God's given you this job. Do it for his glory. On the seventh day, God rested from all his works. You must start with grace, my friend, if you're going to understand rest. Because if you start with yourself and if you start with religion, if you start with all the do's and don'ts and all the rules, you're going to miss it. God rested from his works, from his creative works. I must rest from my works. I think this is saying something else. There's a tendency for me to keep trusting in what I do. There's a tendency for me to trust in my gifts and what I can do and how I'm geared by God and even do those things for my good and my glory, not God's. In fact, in the last number of years, as my life is transitioning, just because of ages and stages of life, you know what one of the thoughts that come to my mind? What does God want me to be doing? And a couple people have brought to you, Rich, it's not about what you're doing, it's about what you're becoming. Are you with me? There's always something ingrained in us about what we were supposed to be doing. And God says, rest in me. You're my workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do what I've called you to do. When it's time to do something, I will let you know. When it's time to do something differently, I will let you know. Trust in God. Rest from your works. I must rest from my works. Hey, what are the things that you do that you like? What are the things that you do that other people like in you and appreciate in you? Are you trusting in your works? Are you trusting in Christ's work in you? God began a good work in you. He will continue until the day of Christ. It's God who works in you both to be willing and to do his good pleasure. So as you yield to God, as you rest in Christ, as you yoke up with Christ, he will lead you when it's time to move, when it's time to do something next. God rested from his works. I must rest from mine. I enter God's rest, not my rest. So often as Christians, we talk about my rest. I need rest. In fact, after the first service, someone came up to me and said, "Man, I'm just really weary. What do you suggest?" And we'd already looked at Matthew 11. I just said, Jesus said, if you're weary, come to him. You're qualified. You see, this person was really trusting their own rest. They were somehow working at the rest. Isn't that a problem with us? We work at our play and we play at our work. Isn't that the problem with Christians? We learn to work at our play and we play at our work. We don't understand the principle of rest. I enter God's rest, not my rest. For if Joshua had given them rest when he came into the land, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. For anyone who enters God's rest. So God's not telling you to go home now and try to drum up some kind of rest, to do some other religious duty and go home and just start mumbling to yourself or quoting all these things, chanting for whatever, putting on the candles and sniffing a bunch of junk. That's not what God's talking about. That's not how you get rest. Like in 1 Kings 18, "Oh Baal, hear us, oh Baal, hear us." For about 6 hours, these guys kept saying, "Oh Baal, hear us, oh Baal, hear us." They were at an extreme disadvantage. Baal didn't exist. How do you like praying to someone who doesn't exist? For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works. God gives you rest. God gives you rest. What's great about Hebrews chapter 4 is this. In this whole context about rest, you know where he goes next? He goes to two areas. The Word of God and Christ, our great high priest. Because you want to know where rest comes from? It comes from the Word and it comes from Christ being our great high priest. God's rest comes to me through the living Word, the Bible. For the Word of God is alive and active. Did you know God's Word is living? Jesus said in John 6:65, "The words that I give unto you, they are spirit and they are life." They are spirit and they are life. When Christ talked about the hard sayings in John 6, it says, from that day forth, many of his disciples walked with him no more. A lot of people just left him. They couldn't accept what Jesus was saying. Jesus said to Peter and the disciples, "Will you also go away? Will you also leave?" Peter said, "To whom else shall we go? For thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, and you give us the words of eternal life." For the Word of God is alive. Is the Word of God alive in you? Is it active when you read it? Do you sense God there? Do you see God there? It's sharper than a two-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. You know what? If I'm going to have rest, there has to be a change in my heart and my attitudes. Hey, do you have hardening of the attitudes? Do you have hardening of the attitudes? A lot of people in the Christian life are concerned about what they're getting out of it, what people are doing for them or with them, or why people are ignoring them. And well, maybe that's your problem. You're just a mess. If you're caught up with Christ, you're not concerned about those things. It judges. The Word of God judges my thoughts and attitudes. It helps me come back to Christ. It helps me realize that if I'm going to be different, if I'm going to rest in Christ, I have to think differently. No wonder it says in Ephesians 4:22, put off the old man. In 4:24, put on the new man. In the middle it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. No wonder it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, it says, for the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, so that we bring every thought captive to obedience to Christ. It says, be transformed in renewing of your mind. Philippians chapter 2 says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ. It says, do nothing by your empty deceit or vain glory. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Don't look to your advantage, but look to the advantage of others. The only person who can do that is one at rest. And then it says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. Christ became a servant. Christ humbled himself. Christ lived for the benefit of others. He gave his life for our benefits. And as a result, he found rest in the Father. The Word of God judges our thoughts and attitudes. I will never find rest if I don't start thinking differently. Unless I start thinking out of the mind of Christ instead of my mind, I'm going to have a problem. You want rest? It won't come from your thoughts, my friend. It won't come from your ingenuity. It won't come from your plans. It won't come from the way you're going to do stuff. Rest comes from thinking like Christ and beginning to live like Christ as he lives through you. You can't pull it off. He already did. He's already done it. You can trust him. God's rest comes to me through his living Word. The Word of God cleanses us. You know, I love Psalm 119, verse 165. You know what it says? Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing shall offend them. How many of you know Christians that are always getting offended? They make me sick. They make you sick. They're always getting offended about something. Great peace have those who love your law, and nothing shall offend them. If you're easily offended, you know what that tells me? You don't love God's law very well. Because when you love God's will, you're not caught up with offenses. You're caught up with Christ. Does that make sense? Are you offended at that? Great peace have those who love your law. Nothing shall offend them. When you love Christ and love his word, you find rest in him and you're not easily offended because you're not thinking about what people are doing for you or against you. You're thinking about what God's calling you to do. Rest comes from the word of God, but rest also comes from Christ, our great high priest. Therefore, since we have a great... That was Jesus speaking. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Did you realize in heaven, we have a great high priest, Christ Jesus, and now he's not just Christ as God, but Christ the God-man. In 1 Timothy 2:5, it says, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Christ as God, because he's God, he reaches out to men, or to God. Because he's a man, he reaches out to men. There's one mediator between God and men. In heaven right now, there's a God-man. There's someone who came to this earth and became human. He suffered, he lived and suffered and died, and he rose again, and then he went to heaven. At the right hand of God is a human being. Not just human, but the God-man. You know what that means? He can represent me. That means because he's there, someday I will be there, another human being. And you will be there if you're trusting in Christ. Aren't you glad? Thank you. Since we have a great high priest who's ascended into heaven, Christ Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Notice the next verse. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses. Because he was a real human 2,000 years ago, because Christ became a real human being, he suffered. He learned obedience by the things that he suffered. He lived, he died, he went through all kinds of struggles. He empathizes with our weaknesses. He sympathizes with us, he empathizes. He's able to be right in our shoes. But we have a high priest who's been tempted in every way just like we are, yet he's without sin. I love that verse. In fact, that's our memory verse for the week. How's that sound? Or should we look at another one? Let's look at the next one, because I think that's going to be a better memory verse. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Because we have a high priest in heaven, he's not Levitical. In fact, as the Hebrews read the book of Hebrews, as the Jews read the book of Hebrews, wait a second. All the priests were like Levites. Christ was from the tribe of Judah. What Christ is telling them, something totally different is going on. Something radically new. We now have a high priest who's not a human being who stands once a year in the Holy of Holies. But now we have a high priest who sat down in heaven at the right hand of God. He's not Levitical. He's from the tribe of Judah. And he empathizes with our weaknesses. He knows what it's like to be human because he was human. And therefore, what can I do? I can approach God's throne of judgment with confidence. Is that what it says? Hey, some of you aren't even here yet. Come on. I can approach God's throne of condemnation with confidence. I can approach God's throne of shame with what? Confidence. That's not what it says. I can approach God's throne of what? Grace. Do you know that we need to be graced? Are you graced? Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. That's our memory verse for the week. How's that sound? You want to go for it? Hey, let's read it together. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Hey, do you need mercy, my friend? Do you need help? Do you need grace to help you in your time of need? We can come to the throne of grace because our heavenly high priest is there. Jesus, he empathizes with us. He hears us. He sees us. And we can find grace to help us in our time of need. Hey, if your Christianity is a burden instead of a blessing, something's wrong. If your form of Christianity is about rules instead of relationships, something is deeply wrong. If it's about legalism instead of love, if it's about fear instead of freedom, if it's about guilt instead of grace, something is radically wrong. You've missed it. You don't have the real deal because, man, my friend, the real deal is found in Jesus Christ. It's about freedom. It's about grace. It's about love. It's about acceptance. It's about being embraced by our great high priest. And therefore, we can approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I'm very needy, just like you, but Christ takes care of that. Hey, as Rachel comes out, maybe you've texted in some questions to her. Where are you this morning? Have you found rest? Right now, just take an inventory. Are you at rest with yourself or not? Are you at peace or not? Do you have peace with God or not? Answer for yourself. I can't answer for you. I have to look inwardly at me. Am I finding rest in Christ today or not? God wants to give us rest. And as I yoke up with Christ, we can find it. Hi, Rachel.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Any questions?
Are you feeling at peace right now?
Mm-hmm. I really am.
Rested?
Kinda.
Okay.
Although Derek did ask me last week when he was preparing for last week's message, he says, Rich, what do you think about this Hebrews 3 passage? And he read a couple of verses. I said, you know what? I'm not experiencing those verses right now in my life. It had to do with some of the verses on rest in Hebrews 3. So I'm sitting there telling Derek, my senior pastor, I'm struggling right now with that verse. Are you with me? God knows that. Let him see it from you. So we have to work at it. Rest. Well,
apparently not everybody's struggling with that. I got a question in a few minutes ago that said, I was resting the last 20 minutes of your sermon. Can you repeat it?
God bless you. Just don't snore. You know, they say if you took everybody that slept in church and laid them down head to toe, head to toe, head to toe, that they'd be a lot more comfortable. Church is a good place to rest. So turn on your hearing aids. If you're ready to go home, let's roll. By the way, if someone's asleep beside you, don't wake them up. Just leave. Let them stay here about 2 o'clock when they wake up.
One individual said, I'm so busy. I'm a full-time student graduating from university soon with an internship as well as a job. How do I find rest? I try to, but I'm always so tired I don't have the time.
Great question. Because that's a picture of most of our lives. We might have different circumstances. I was in your shoes one time. I was finishing a master's degree, writing a thesis for another master's degree, taking 22 units, coaching a basketball team, teaching a class in a seminary, and youth pastor at a church. You think I had a problem?
Did you have kids too?
No, I wasn't even married. Praise God for that at the time. I know where you're at. There's all these things I felt I had to keep doing. And then you know what happened? I got the flu. I never had it like this before. I was in bed for about 8 days. I remember sitting in bed about 3 or 4 days just starting to cry. I think, I'm never going to get through this. God says, Rich, rest in me. In fact, he gave me a verse there. I was reading and thinking about John 16:32. I felt all alone. He said, the time is going to come when you leave me all alone. That's Jesus. He says, but I'm not alone. The Father's with me. You know what that verse gave me? Rest. I knew the Father's with me. So all the stuff I was doing didn't really matter ultimately. And I was able to look at all the things I had to do differently. Busyness is one of the biggest enemies of restfulness. We are so caught up. In fact, I'm sure most of you have about 15 things you got to get done today. If you're a mom, you got 25 things. We got to do this and do this and do this. Who said?
The list said.
Are you going by the list or the Lord?
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't do those things, and maybe God's telling you to do those things. But if you're doing them out of a spirit of rest, and because this is what you're doing now, God wants you to change dirty diapers. Husbands too, by the way. Step it up, men. Okay? So it doesn't mean you're not going to have those things, but you come back. If that's your struggle, and most of us have that struggle, just start rereading and rereading Matthew 11:28-30, and not just for words, but now for content. Come to me, all you that are weary and heavy laden. When I heard that verse, or that comment, I'm thankful you said it, because 95% of the people in this room are there. We're all so busy, so caught up with everything we're doing at work, whether husbands, our wives, our kids, our grandkids, all this stuff we got to do. Wait a second. Come to me, all you that are what? Weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke up on you and learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, for I'm meek and gentle of heart. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Are you with me? When you start feeling that way, go right back to Matthew, because Jesus told us right there what to do. Am I going to start doing that, or am I going to keep doing all the stuff I'm doing? There comes a point when life has to change.
Oh, here's someone with the opposite problem. Why is rest so important? I like staying busy. I must be my type A personality.
You know why a lot of people stay busy? They don't want to really look on the inside. It's an anesthetic for pain. When you find a workaholic, a busyaholic, an alcoholic, a sexaholic, a moneyaholic, or whatever, by the way, all of us are some type of an alcoholic. You know what we're hiding? Some kind of pain. There's something that's happened in our life. If I keep doing this and keep doing that and keep doing that, then I don't have to face what's really going on in the inside. God wants you to face what's going on inside, and which is a bunch of nothing and a bunch of crap. And then we have to look at, I know some of you think, well, what did he just say? Forget what I just said. He wants us to see the inside for what it really is, so we finally realize, I'm not going to get it unless I get it from Christ. When I finally realize I don't have it, and I can't produce it, and I can't get it, then I'm going to finally have to come to Christ and receive it. And when I do that, then all of a sudden, I'm not busy doing all these things I got to do so that somehow I feel good about myself. When you feel good about Jesus and his work in you, you're going to feel good about yourself. And then you're going to be off that squirrel cage of always having to run to do something. Many people are busy because they don't want to spend some time thinking about themselves or thinking about Christ. Busyness is an enemy of rest, an enemy of meditation, an enemy of quietness before God and listening to his voice. In fact, one of the biggest struggles with technology in our day is most people are so caught up with technology, they don't hear God, they don't listen to God, they're not even seeking God. And instead of hearing God's voice, they're hearing voices from all over the world, but they've not heard the voice of Christ. Be careful. We're busy because we don't want to deal with what's really not happening on the inside, our emptiness.
I should post that on my Facebook page.
Post what?
What you just said.
Did you just wake up? Good. Post it. Post Matthew 11, 28 through 30.
Okay, I will.
Facebook is great if you use it well.
All right. One more question.
That's so funny.
I think you're funny.
Okay.
I really do. You're one of the funniest people I know.
Okay.
Isn't he cute? I just think he's so awesome.
He's cute. Yeah, he's cute. Okay. Isn't he cute?
Yeah. Well, if you know Rich, you know that he's not a really big technology person. So it's fun when you get him to start talking about social media.
By the way, don't worry about getting a hold of me on the Facebook, okay?
Yeah, don't friend request him. You won't find
any request you have for me, just send it to Rachel. She'll get it to me.
Okay. All right, one last question
by
for
way,
you this
I'm
morning.
I'm not against that. It can be used for God's glory. But you see what I'm saying? Are you using it for God's glory, or is it using you? That's the key.
All right, last question. This one is definitely where I've been many times in my life. I actually have time to rest, but my mind won't let me. What are some steps that you would recommend to slow my mind down?
Well, you've had that problem. How have you answered that?
Well, meditation is really a big one for me. That really helps. A lot of times I'll be going, and then I'll take a break. Or especially, you know, you're trying to sleep at night, and things keep going. I'm getting lots of head nods out there. It just keeps going and going and going. And one of the things I actually do that really helps me is I just repeat the name of Jesus over and over very slowly with my breath. You know, and sometimes I'll use the word Jesus. Sometimes I'll use a different word for Jesus, Adonai or El Shaddai, mm-hmm. or different aspects of God. And I'll just say it over and over. It slows my breath down. It takes me to a quieter place. Next thing you know, I'm out. I'm out cold, and I can sleep, and I'm not having these anxiety dreams in the middle of the night kind of thing. That's something that's really helped me.
That's great. You said the key thing there, meditation, reflect on it. What you just did is take those thoughts that were keeping you uptight and busy, and you change them to thoughts about God and talking about His names. You start reflecting on who He is.
It's not a matter of emptying your mind. It's a matter of replacing those thoughts with things that are
good. Yeah, the Bible is always about a principle of substitution. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So if you don't replace what's going on with something better, with Christ, then you're going to miss it. In Psalm 1, it talks about, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates what?
Day and night.
You want to know why most people can't get all these things out of their mind? They spend no time thinking about God and his word, reflecting on Jesus. Because once you reflect and meditate on Christ, these other things will start to subside. And the next time you can't sleep, don't count sheep, talk to the shepherd. In fact, what I find, all I got to do is start praying and I fall asleep. Okay? Yeah, go ahead. Ring clap. Let's do that. That's it. Okay. Isn't she cute? Okay. Find your rest in Jesus. Good. Thank you. Good. Hey, have a great day serving Christ and resting in Christ, resting while you work. God bless you. Have a great day.